Radio.
This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Whisker Report. We're a new podcast dedicated to helping anyone in the pet industry. Whether you're an animal welfare nonprofit or a for-profit pet company, we're going to help you get some PR and biz for your organization. Hello, everyone. I'm Mary Tan, one of the hosts of the show, along with Alexandra Card. She's from France, but she just moved to Vancouver. And when she's not doing that, because she travels a lot, she really just floats around the world in hopes of spaying and neutering all the stray cats. Bonjour, Alexandre.
Bonjour, tout le monde. Loving Vancouver, not loving the early morning to do this podcast, but you know, it's okay. It's all about compromise. So today we're here with our producer, Mark Winter of Pet Life Radio, who is the man who gets us to you each and every week. Hey, Mark, you just told us you released an album. Can you tell us the title and a little bit more about it?
Yeah, it's coming out. Well, it came out. It's out right now, today. It's called The Next Big Thing. And it's on all the streaming apps, so you can get it everywhere.
I'm really excited to
go out and listen to by.
Yeah, I'm excited to listen to it.
Well, I am going to listen to it. I have a long drive ahead of me, and I am going to listen to it for sure. And of course, we're so honored, The Whisker Report, to be part of Pet Life Radio, because we want you to know that you can do PR for yourself. And Alex, Mark, and I are going to help you each and every week.
And this week, we're so excited to welcome one of our favorite friends from the pet industry. Colleen Wilson, CEO and founder of Pets on Cue, is here with us. Pets on Cue is an incredible marketplace that connects individuals and businesses with all kinds of animal talents, from the cutest pets to the most unique. Colleen, we're thrilled to have you on the show. Could you share a little bit more about your journey and what inspired you to start Pets on Cue?
Yeah, as in fired over 10 years ago. I rescued a deaf Dalmatian who's asleep right below me. He's almost 11 now.
Hello.
And just trained him myself. And people kept asking me to train their own pets. And I was like, that's not what I do. And then I kind of ended up learning from a trainer and had a deep dive into the animal acting world. And working in business, did it as a side job for a bit. And then it kind of took over my life. And that's how Pets on Cue, the agency, was born, because people wanted me to represent their animals. And my dog booked New York Fashion Week, GQ Magazine, TV shows, and movies. And because he's well-trained, he's deaf. So do it in sign language so producers don't need me to yell at him while they're on set, so the audio doesn't get picked up. I know Mark would know a lot about that. And that's kind of how it got started, which is so weird because I came from a financial background and then went to this. And I kind of saw a lot of abuse in the industry. And that's what really inspired me to have something different to offer for producers, because they didn't like seeing the abuse. Now when people hear about us, they just want to work with us all the time, which is great. So yeah, that's kind of where it got started. And we've been an agency and been around for 10 years now, which is insane that it's been this long.
Wow, that's amazing. Also, you launched a new website called The Animalist, right? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So The Animalist is kind of like our DIY agency, or like a Fiverr, but for finding and hiring animal talent. The Animalist is this place where you can go and search if you have an event and you need adoptable kittens there. We do actually adoptable kittens quite a bit at events because it attracts people to your booths. So brands love hiring that to bring them in. It's weird. There's so many ways that animals can get hired. Goats, they can get hired to do goat yoga all the way to deforesting your backyard. Like it is, their animals can be a great source of income, and they're doing things that they love too. The adoptable kittens help get them adopted, help get funds over to a rescue, and the kittens usually find great homes. Then we do animal actors in there, influencers, content creators, UGC creators, protection animals like dogs for concerts that are hired as security, you name it, search and rescue. There are animals for hire anywhere. That's what The Animalist does. There's like the Fiverr, but for finding and hiring animal talent.
That's really interesting. I actually have a question that popped up in my head. With the new AI and CGI and all of that, do you find it harder to place animal in movies, or do they still really want like real animals?
I think the industry is changing in a good way, like in a very, very good way. So I'm actually for it. Most people in my industry are against it. There's a few reasons behind that, but a lot of it comes down to a lot of the exotic animals, they're being replaced by CGI because it's very difficult to get a tiger on camera to be doing something. It's very difficult to get a bear because there's really only a couple working bears still. There are no more working chimpanzees in Hollywood, like no more working. There are some primates, the other monkeys, but all of that is dying out because of CGI. And we don't work exotics. We actually think that other animals could be working and replacing them. Like we just got a call for a wolf. We ended up hiring a Beauceron on it, which is a dog breed, a very scary looking dog breed. So I believe that exotics should be in the wild, apart from reptiles and birds that we do represent. But with CGI and AI kind of coming out and changing everything, I kind of see it as a pro. You can't replace a dog and a cat in a film connecting with an actor or actress. I think it makes and it forces the industry to have to level up the training, which is what I believe in. It forces us to have to level up the quality of animals that are super friendly and okay with being on set and confident being on set, which actually does help. It helps the animals themselves because there's animals that shouldn't be working and there's animals that should. So the ones that shouldn't be working, they're going to want to hide under a bed. You can see it on camera that they're afraid. They just shouldn't be working. And those ones should be replaced by CGI or by an animal that would want to. But if you think of those movie scenes where there's a dog cuddling with an actor or a cat brushing up against someone, those are actors that are trained to do that are super confident, super loving, and love being on set. Obviously, not all the time, but, and that's kind of what we do want to promote. And you can't really replace that connection, that emotional connection. You need more actors that are animals type thing. That's kind of what I'm trying to say. And CGI and AI, I think, is helping release a lot of the exotics from the industry and the easy shots that producers can get or the cheaper shots that they can get done with animation to help keep those animals in the wild, help make sure those animals are not owned as pets. Because a lot of movies like when Lassie came out, when 101 Dalmatians came out, those breeds skyrocketed. And there's a lot of ownership of exotics that shouldn't be happening because of movies. So there's a lot of responsibility there too. It's a long-winded answer to that, but very good question. And I'm for that. And most people in the industry are not because they're losing jobs from it.
Another question, because we're all animal rescuers here. You talked about what kind of abuse is in the industry and are there any laws that protect animals when they're on set?
There are no laws, but American Humane is an organization. So if any movie has no animals were harmed, that means an American Humane rep was on set to protect the animals, which I think what they do, and that's covered by SAG. So any production that the union production is covered, they don't even have to pay for an American Humane rep to be there for them to get no animals were harmed. That doesn't necessarily mean that the animals weren't abused in the training methods to get there. So our methodology and our certification does do that beforehand. So with the certification of wranglers and animal actors, that does protect them beforehand. The kind of abuse that I've heard of and seen probably isn't great for a podcast audience. And that's kind of what motivates me to improve the industry. Because it's like, I've just heard horror stories.
Ugh, that's just, I just can't even think about that.
Yeah.
Well, when we come back, Colleen, we're going to have you talk about what traits your animal needs to become an animal actor. And we'll be right back.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back with Colleen Wilson, the CEO of Pets on Cue. Colleen, there's a question we're all wondering. How do you get your pet or your dog or any other animal to become an animal actor? What are the requirements?
Okay, so to get certified to do animal acting work, first, your animal really needs to be temperamented and healthy enough to be able to do the work. So that's the first thing we test for. So if we're working with a rescue, shelter, or sanctuary, the first thing we look at is to make sure that the animal is up to date, that they're healthy, that they're competent, that they're going to be fine if a large pop happens from a camera or light, that they're going to be fine if something swinging is going by like a camera and they're moving really fast, and that they're very confident animals, that they're okay and they're curious enough for new things like that. That's the first thing we look at is temperament approval. That's our level one animal actor. So if we're working with a rescue shelter, sanctuary, whatever, we are always looking to get some animals into that temperament approved category, because that's something that you can't teach that. You can't teach it. And if you're a background for an animal, if you're like, because a lot of times you just see dogs walking in the background. That's just a temperament approved animal. It's not that difficult to get into it and to get that temperament approval. So that would be number one. And then we go into the training of the animal, which would be an animal actor, level two. Level three is advanced animal actor. Level four is elite animal actor. So we break it down into different categories, which it spells out perform. So P is polished obedience. So advanced obedience within the species. So for a dog and a cat, being able to be controlled on and off leash at a distance, and controlled meaning I can tell my dog from 20 yards away, sit down, stand, like having MNSD, doing a few other tricks, and that they know that a lot of animals, sometimes they'll just perform the tricks in the order that you tell them. So like if you sit down, stand, and then I ask them to go back to a sit from a stand or a down from a stand, and the animal's confused and doesn't get it, they're not going to pass. The animal needs to fully understand what the task is. And I think that's the problem with a lot of training right now. Marksmanship. So being able to go from two marks, a point A to point B. We'll use like little things on the ground, or we'll use like a canine stand for the animals to go from point A to point B. The difference between a dog going from point A to point B is they need to be able to walk, run, you know, skip or hop. If they're injured, there's different, more advanced would be able to do that. A regular dog would just go to point A to point B. A cat might need to jump from point A to point B, might need to jump up to something, might need to. So going different marks within the species, a horse being ridden, not ridden, point of. So it just depends within the species of what they would need to do. A bird fly, I can't have like fly on it because, you know, the other animals can't fly. But for a bird, being able to fly from a mark to another mark is very important for production. Head control, refined head movement. So like my dog, his typical casting is for a depressed dog, because he has a really good depressed face. Because he's deaf, he has to look at me all the time. And if I'm standing above him and I tell him, put your head down, he looks up at me for my next hand sign, right? So he plays a depressed dog really well, because he'll put his head down, look left, look right. And he just like has these puppy dog eyes that'll look up at you. Aww. And he's done. That's like kind of what I think he's known for in production and like some indie movies. Looking left, looking right. A lot of animals should know that. The next one is film ready expertise, which is all the fun tricks that the animals know. So I do know a cat that can do a backflip. That's on their resumes. Film ready, which is they used, the guy used one of his favorite toys, like those like little feathers at the end, and just kept flipping it in a circle until the cat started doing it, which is great. Dogs that can ride a scooter or they can hold something that the production might need. Vocals, so cats being able to meow, purr on command, very important. It's complex. I know it's like it's more advanced and it can get harder for dogs. Howl, bark, growl, showing their teeth, like that kind of stuff. Those little things and those little expressions. A lot of the dogs that you see on TV that are like the scary mean dogs are actually super friendly, and they're trained to do that with me going in front of, like, I'm like a foot away from them right next to the camera going, you're so mean, show me. and if you actually saw that part, it wouldn't show, but on camera, you see this dog snarling, looking so mean. And then after, I'm like, here's your cookie. Like it. They need to be really mentally strong, because the camera guys can't get injured either, right? Mm. And there's going to be hundreds of people around with this dog doing that to your face. Touching and holding objects. So for a cat, Mary, pawing at an object, if they can paw at something, then they would be able to do that typewriting scene. So touch, hold, pull. If they can touch something with their hand or like nuzzle up against it, that's what cat will get booked for. Cats primarily, they need to know how to bat at something, where you're just like touch. And I would use just something small, like a quarter or penny, and have them touch that. And then you put that on the keyboard. So they do that for that scene. So you teach them touch, to rub up against someone, all that. And then movement and harmony is really being able to go with an actor. So that's primarily for like a bird, horse, dog, and cat too, for them to be able to, like for a horse, being able to be ridden by other people and have it naturally look like it's their horse. For a dog, being able to be walked by someone while your owner's behind you and you're telling the dog, go with someone. That's not a natural thing for a dog to do. And same for a cat. That's perform. That's the things that we look at when doing an animal actor. And the more advanced and elite, like from like an AB marker example, like a cat being or a dog being able to walk from A to B, that'd be an animal actor. An advanced one, they're able to limp with their right foot up and they're able to run and walk and stop at the command. Those are the more advanced ones that they'll get the bigger roles and more opportunity.
Tangent. Quick question here. What animals are needed most?
A trick question, whatever the producer wants. It's like we look at things like, what's the scope of work? What does this animal need to do? And we have to like, it's really cool because we get to see what the music video is going to be before the music video is even taught. And there are things that we would have to say, hey, this type of animal can't do this. You might need to get this type instead. So it is us just kind of like working with them. And if it's something simple, personally for me, I actually find I can get, if I need a kitten for something, like, it's so much easier for me to call my local rescue group saying, hey, what orange kittens do you have? And then I can go temperament test 15 of them at a couple different shelters and find the one that's the most confident, that is just so friendly and is going to love being on set. And then it really does show and play. So it really depends on the production and what animals they need. Right now we're doing, because it's also around Halloween, we're doing a lot of really scary looking dogs and black cats. And so we're in that era. Next going to be the like family-friendly dog for Christmas stuff and the, you know, white fluffy things coming into winter. So we've done a lot of rabbits recently. It just depends on what the production wants and what they need. And then we just have to figure out who the best fit would be and give them the options to make the decision.
Colleen, besides animal actors, you also work with influencers and, you know, a lot of clients come to you to say, okay, our brand really wants to work with animal influencers. But I have a quick question. What is the difference between animal influencers and content creators? Because I know that it's a bit hot at the minute. This topic is a little...
Yeah. A influencer to me is someone that can influence someone's buying decisions.
Okay.
So, and not just one person. An influencer, because there's a lot of influencers out there that are not producing sales and revenue for brands. And those to me are content creators. So the idea, and some people say like, I'm a content creator because they focus on making content, but they're doing brand deals too. Brands want influencers because they're influencing someone's buying decision to purchase their product. For me, a content creator is someone that's creating good content for a brand to then utilize. Whether that comes with a social media post or not, great, but we're not expecting much out of the post. So the amount of influencers out there is actually much fewer than what people think, because we see the numbers of who's producing on the back end of campaigns, and it's probably like 8 out of 100 influencers that are actually influencing people's buying decisions.
So how, like, if you're a small brand, you know, a small startup, like or just a nonprofit wanting to work with actual influencers, how do you do that? How do you find that they are actual influencers and not content creators?
A lot of it's trial and error still. I mean, we have the statistics, so we're an agency. So we have the back end data to support who's performing and who isn't. Who's going to have, like, whose audience primarily in the US? Who has had a good track record in the past? Who's going to produce and perform in sales for a small brand, right? So for us, I would say hire an agent or make a casting call on the Animalist, because it's free to do. See what you get. You could also use, right now, the trend is actually shifting away from influencers and going to content creators for UGC content. And then they use that UGC content to promote. A lot of brands I'm seeing, they're shifting because they want video review and they want to be able to post that on their website, post that on Amazon, post that in other places because they need video reviews to get the masses to come in and purchase, as opposed to influencers. The industry's shifting so much right now, and it's like, it's a good thing, but it's scary. I don't love that part. So, but yeah, that's a big difference.
I was on a panel with you and it was on, does influencer marketing work? What do you think?
It does work if it's done well. It does work if it's done well. I think the 90% of people are not doing it properly. That's the...
Yeah. And, you know, at Global this year, they really limited the number of influencers, which was, you know, surprising to a lot of people. But then some of the feedback I've gotten from pet companies is, you know, we hire these influencers and we really don't get any ROI.
Yeah. Yeah, so they hired content creators, not influencers. That's, I think, the difference is they're expecting all these sales to come out of it, and that's not what they're getting. So they just went in it with the wrong thing. I do think that there's still people influencing buying decisions. It's just like the TikTok shops, those are working. Those are working for brands right now. It's changing. Influencing is, I would say, people understand that it's a commercial now and people are sick of them. So sometimes it's having the adverse reaction that the brand's hiring them for. And that's where it's becoming a really complex industry to be working in because of that. Because you also have to look for that now too, which that was not there 3 years ago.
Well, you are giving us so much insight. We just need to take a quick break and we're going to be back with Colleen right after this.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your Cat Tree Tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back with Colleen Wilson, the CEO of Pets on Cue. Colleen, quick question. Do you think influencer marketing is always a good thing for brands, or do you think some brands shouldn't use it? And especially, I'm thinking about nonprofits. Have you ever seen influencer marketing work for a nonprofit to maybe raise awareness about a fundraiser or about something else? In what case, it's not a good way to use influencer marketing?
I think if you're a nonprofit, you shouldn't be paying influencers to promote what you're doing, unless you're a large nonprofit that has the funds to do it. I think there's plenty of people that are smaller accounts that are influencing someone's purchase decision to go to a fundraiser that are doing that, and they're willing to post about the event organically and doing it at no cost. Because it's, I mean, for me, at least for me as someone, I will post for a nonprofit all day long, especially a rescue that I support and believe in. Like, why would I not? And I know that I'm helping them, and it's just like kind of a good feeling for me. But I know other people will charge for that. And I don't think that that's going to be super beneficial for a rescue, because then it will show up as you have to put the ad in sponsored if it's paid. And it just leaves like soap in your mouth as a viewer. Like, you're getting sponsored by the ASPCA to do this. Like, I'm just threw out the rescue that was in my head. It just isn't a really good feeling. And then sometimes people feel like they don't want to support that. So that's like the change that's happening in influencing. For rescues, sanctuaries, nonprofits, I would say go out to your friends and family and your realm of influence and see who's willing to post for you. And then get other people, like for road dogs, rescue, they do bulldogs, pugs, whatnot. They should be reaching out to other people that have those animals, even if they purchase them, to see if they would ever, like if you're ever thinking of supporting a rescue or whatnot, we would love your support for us. And that's how like a road dogs has gotten massive celebrities to promote them. And that's really helped get fundraisers and all of that over. So I think, I mean, with PR, that's what I would do, just to like help get those people onboarded. And I'm pretty sure that's what you guys do because we've worked together before. But that's kind of what I think would be the best path. And I wouldn't, if I were a rescue, I wouldn't be paying for that, because there's plenty of creators out there that'll do that for free just because they love to support, you know.
So, you know, you had mentioned earlier to me before we started that having animals at events really gets at attention. And then from a media perspective, from a PR standpoint, it's a wonderful thing, whether you're at a trade show and have live animals. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like, how is that a great promotional tool?
Yeah. I mean, you don't just have to use animals. Like, we work with this. Just taking it as an example, if you're at a big convention, everyone starts talking about, oh my gosh, there are adoptable puppies on row B6. Oh, like, where are they? Where? Like, that's what those conferences are. And whether it be, and I've heard it at CES, which is a tech conference, all the way to the pet conferences that we do, because it's pretty obvious. Every time you go to a pet conference, there are multiple booths that will have adoptables there. And they almost always go to a loving home when they're at this conference. So it really helps the rescue out and everyone out, and they get paid to be there, which is awesome. But there goes beyond that, because there's other things that you can do in the pet space. Like, we represent a artist and she paints pets' portraits on your bag or on whatever, and brands will hire that then just to attract people to the booth. So if you ever need that too, you let me know, Mary.
I love that.
She's actually the artist that was at the last conference that there was a like day-long wait list to get her, and it was a three-day event, like instantly. It was crazy.
You know what? Bringing activity to your booth. And then, you know, you can also at these trade shows, you know, there's so many companies there. Everybody is kind of, you know, there's a competition to get the media coverage. Having animals there is going to put you over the top.
Yeah. There were a few at Super Zoo. There were a couple like celebrities that came in. I always go to the ostrich one. They have like ostriches and reptiles and the birds, and because I like it. Those are the things that really capture people's attention.
Oh, yeah. So could you just tell us a bit, like, so if one of our clients wants to book an animal for one of those shows, how do they reach out to you? Is there a process on Pets on Cue? How does it work?
Yeah, so Pets on Cue is our agency. So if anyone is their first time hiring animals and all of that, I would definitely recommend going through the agency first. The agency just charges a little bit more of a percentage. And that would be Pets on Cue. So you can go to petsonq@q.com, or my email is Colleen, C-O-L-L-E-E-N @petsonq.com. Or the Animal List is the free public marketplace to find and hire animal talent. So we've actually only been launched for 5 months, and it is booking left and right, and we are onboarding animals. We have thousands of animal talent in there. That's only going to continue to grow. So casting calls get placed. They're free. Making animal listings are free. And that marketplace is really, really fun if you were looking to just hire your own, from content creators to animals for events, all of that. So if you want to just do it on your own, we have theanimallist.com. And if you need help, it's Pets on Cue.
Yeah, your site is really, really, it's incredible what you've done with it.
Thank you.
And it's so fun to just look through all the animals.
We got like my team every day. We got a baby goat. We got a baby goat. Like, what can we hire them for? We got this horse that talks like this, lips move like Mr. Ed. And we hired him to do a promo for us on our marketplace because we were just obsessed.
Oh my gosh. And then we just want to give a shout out to about your Netflix series. It came out a few years ago, but tell us a little bit more about that and where you are on Netflix.
Oh yeah. If you go to Netflix, you just search Pet Stars. That's it. And it'll pop right up. It's about myself and my COO, Melissa. She is amazing. And we kind of just follows our journey when we're out from behind the computer screen, basically, working with animals. So it came out during COVID. Fun fact, we're doing the interviews, though, sometimes the parts of them I'm pregnant, so you only see from here up. So you'll see, you'll know this, because we got stopped because of COVID. So we were mid filming and COVID happened, but it did get released during that whole time. And it's been the most fun thing to ever do. So
well, it's a wonderful, I urge everybody to watch Colleen. It gives you such good insight also on what you do.
Yeah, thanks.
And of course, we want to talk about the Pet Industry Network, because Whisker Media and Pets on Cue are part of this network. Colleen, do you want to tell everybody about it?
Yeah, the Pet Industry Network is a group of amazing people basically in marketing and pet, and actually kind of a little bit outside of marketing, but it's a great place. So like, I've worked with Mary with a few different companies and vice versa. So like, what she does is kind of synergistic to what I do, obviously PR, influencer and animal acting and animal for hire. So we work together. We refer each other back and forth along with other people. So there's like copywriters and people that post on social media. So Pin's a really good place if you're looking for something unique in marketing. We have experts in kind of each field, like Amazon product help for pet products. You name it, we got it. SEO help, all those things.
Yeah, we had Erin Gary on this podcast a few weeks ago, and she talked a lot about Amazon, and it was really fascinating.
Yeah,
how Amazon works, because that is just another behemoth. But anyways, I want to thank you so much, Colleen, for coming on the show. We are also so excited to be doing this for all of you out there who are rescuing animals or selling pet products. And if you have a question that you want us to answer, remember, we're here for you, to be a resource for you. Reach out to us on Instagram or Facebook under The Whisker Report, and we'll try to answer it in a future podcast episode. Thank you again, Colleen. And as we always say,
bark loud and purr smart.
See you, everyone.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.